Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our toll-free lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just thank you for giving us an open door. We just pray that we'd be a blessing, that we'd be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And Lord, again, we just pray that we could point somebody that's searching towards Christ, and somebody that's not saved, that they might be able to realize that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, came to this world, lived a perfect life, and then willingly went to the cross, where he shed his blood as he died in our place to pay for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. And if we'll believe that he did that to pay for our sins, and of course that necessitates trusting or admitting our sin as we trust Christ as our Savior. Lord, if there's somebody who needs to be able to do that, I just pray that we could be instrumental in pointing them to Christ, that they might get saved. Thank you again for the opportunity. Blessed now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And wow, a lot of things happening in the world. And we had the Republican debate this past Thursday night, not too far from where I'm sitting right now in Cleveland. I'm in Independence, just a few miles south of Cleveland, Ohio, and quite a lot of excitement there. And then, of course, we had the Ohio Pastors Policy Conference that I was able to go to last Thursday as well, and pretty interesting as well, some things there might touch on. But, of course, you're listening to our program live. If you've got a question, that's what drives the program. And our phone number, of course, is 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We're going to go to a caller here in just a moment. And I think we can get, I believe we have Bernie waiting for us online already. Bernie, welcome to Late Night Live.
Yes, Pastor, how are you?
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, I was wondering if you could pray for my relative. Mm-hmm. That he just had CPR and he may be dying tonight.
Okay. And do you have a first name by chance I can use?
Yes, it's Ed.
Ed? All right. And, well, we can pray right now if you'd like.
Thank you.
All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we go before you in prayer and know that people are listening or praying for Bernie's relative, Ed. And you know the situation there, the health situation. And Father, we just pray that you might intervene. And Lord, I don't know the situation, but Lord, you are the great physician. We just pray that you might bring healing to this man and raise him back up, Lord, if it be thy will. We understand, Lord, that sin has caused death and death has come into the world, and we've all experienced it at some time or another unless you come back for us, Lord. But Lord, we know that even though it may be appointed once to man to die, Lord, we don't know exactly when that time is. And Lord, if this is not Ed's time, that you might raise him up and strengthen him. And I don't know about his spiritual condition, Lord, but if he's not saved, we just pray that somebody be able to witness to him, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him if he is saved. And I pray that you'd give him peace, that you'd give him strength, that you'd give him encouragement as he faces this challenge in his. And we just pray for Bernie. We just pray that you'd strengthen and encourage him. And Lord, as the 23rd Psalm says, when it says that we've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, a lot of times we think of that in terms of somebody who's died, but we who are alive, when we see somebody dying or come close to death, in a sense, we've walked through that valley of the shadow of death ourselves, and we've come near to somebody and the loss of somebody. So, Father, I just pray you encourage Bernie during this time and help him to be a strength and encouragement to his family members, Lord. And we just pray again that thy will be done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Bernie, for calling. I appreciate it. I know there's going to be people out there who are going to hold your family member Ed up in prayer here tonight, and I encourage people to do so. And I don't know if you don't want to give out too much information about family members and all that, but I didn't ask you before, but do you know if he's saved or not?
I think he is.
All right. Well, that's always encouraging. I know. I mean, I've done a number of funerals as a pastor, and, you know, doing a funeral for somebody that's saved is so much more, so much easier in knowing that that person is with the Lord. And then, of course, doing one where somebody that you know is not saved. And so that's always a hard thing. But hopefully, Bernie, he'll pull through this, and God will give him some time to be a witness and testimony to those around him. So,
thank you, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Bernie. I appreciate that call.
God bless you.
God bless you and your family. And God bless, of course, your loved one, Ed, here. Just pray that everything will work out well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Thank you. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al here tonight. And encourage people. You think about that. God lays it on your heart here this evening. Pray for Bernie and his family member, Ed. And you know it's a difficult time. And so just pray that you just that God would give him strength, encouragement, and peace and assurance during this time. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight and encourage you to give us a call here this evening. And while we're looking at some other, or talking about some things here this evening, I want to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 3 here tonight. And give me just a moment to turn over here to Ezekiel chapter 3. And wanted to talk about our role essentially as a watchman. And if you think about it, we have a responsibility as believers, and that we are supposed to warn people. And of course, obviously, the most important thing that we can do as a believer is warn people about the wages of sin, which is death, not just merely physical death. But the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And that's being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And we need to warn people about that. But we also have an obligation, the Bible says, to be salt and light in the world around us. And here in Ezekiel chapter 3, there's an interesting passage here where God is speaking to Ezekiel here. And we start in verse 17. He says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness," before I go on any further there, I want to back up here on to the idea of the watchman there. God told Ezekiel that he had set him as a watchman before the house or unto the house of Israel. And we can follow this thought a little bit further on here into Ezekiel chapter 33. And let me turn a little bit further here. And I want to hit that idea of the watchman here. Here we see it again. In Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, He is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, this is an interesting concept. We have two cases here where Ezekiel records that God set him to be a watchman. And the interesting thing with these two, the one that I just read here, he's a watchman warning of the sword coming upon the land. And then, of course, in the first instance, back in chapter 3, he was a watchman under the house of Israel to warn the wicked to turn from his wickedness. And I think we can learn a couple things from these two instances of God setting Ezekiel as a watchman. Now, obviously, as I said earlier, our primary purpose really is to warn people about the reality of hell and the necessity of trusting Christ as their Savior. We want to see people saved, and that certainly is a responsibility that we have. But at the same time, we're also called to issue a warning to other people, a warning of danger that's coming upon us. And take a look here in Acts chapter 20 for a moment here. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is writing this, and he's writing this to the pastors at the church that he had established in Ephesus. And he's coming to them with a word of warning. He says in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, "Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." And that's obviously, I believe, a reference to the watchman passages in Ezekiel. Because remember, he said that if the sword was coming against the land and the watchman does not sound the trumpet, the blood of those people who are taken, whether they're wicked or not, I mean, their blood is on his hands because he did not sound the warning. And so he realized that he had a responsibility to sound the warning, and he tried to warn everybody. That's why he said, "I am pure from the blood of all men." And he says, continued on in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And he goes on to charge them about preaching the gospel and remind them how he was faithful to preach the gospel. But he's warning them. He's fulfilling the purpose of a watchman, warning them that grievous wolves would arise, some even from their own selves. And, you know, we need to do that today. We live in very dangerous times. The Bible says that the times immediately preceding the return of Christ would be troublous times, troublesome times. And we see that happening today. The Bible says, Jesus said it would be as in the days of Noah, when everybody, the imagination of men's heart was nothing but wickedness. And he said it would also be like as in the days of Lot, when immorality and homosexuality was rampant everywhere. And certainly when we see the things that are happening in our society today, these things are true. When you see the Supreme Court, recent Supreme Court decision mandating same-sex marriage around the country, when you see Planned Parenthood, I saw a political cartoon that summed it up best. There was a Planned Parenthood abortion practitioner saying, We don't engage in the wholesale slaughter of babies. And then in the next panel, he said, it's retail. Because they're literally selling, haggling and selling baby parts. Parts from babies that they chose to kill in certain ways so that they could preserve certain parts more intact, and haggling over the prices. And, of course, it's against federal law. I did a program on this a couple weeks ago, I believe, and cited some of the federal laws. And so we live in those days. And, you know, if pastors of our country are not going to sound the warning, who is? Who is? We need to sound a warning. Sadly, pastors are not sounding the warning. The very people appointed to be watchmen are not sounding the trumpet. They're not warning people. They're not warning the wicked to turn from their ways. They're not warning of the danger that's coming upon the land. And I'm afraid that when a lot of pastors that may be saved, when they get to heaven, there's going to be blood on their hands because they did not sound the warning that God called them to do. So be a watchman. Sound the warning. Be salt and light in the world around you and make a difference. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have, I believe it's Sam calling in already this evening. And Sam, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, I had a question.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, how important do you think it is to know the or to research the origins, what community each of the Gospels originated in?
Are you talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in terms of the books?
Yes, and also the Pauline letters.
Right.
What kind of communities these Gospels originated and circulated in? How important is it for the sincere Bible student to research and look into that? Does this sincere Bible student need to look into these things or not at all?
I think it's good to look into some of these things. It's good to know. For instance, who some of the different Pauline letters, for instance, are addressed to. When you see that and you understand some of the local circumstances, certainly on the basic level of all of the Gospels and all the Word of God, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we understand that they came, you know, from God, and He used certain people. And then, of course, when we move beyond that, we realize that God selected certain individuals to use. For instance, and I'm going to try and see if I can remember this. I'm trying to remember this. It's been a little while since I looked at some of this, but you have four Gospels there, and the four Gospels present Christ in a slightly different fashion and also sort of geared towards different audiences. And let's see here. Matthew, I believe, presents Jesus in a sense. It emphasizes his kingship in a way. And of course, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Matthew has the genealogy going back to King David in it. And it was written to a largely Jewish audience. Mark, on the other hand, presents Jesus as a servant. It's kind of interesting. Mark has no genealogy, and it's fairly short, and it's kind of action-oriented with a number of things. It just kind of gets right into the business of things, and if you have a servant, people don't care where the servant came from or what his genealogy is, and it's interesting. Another thing, as I'm thinking about this, you have the cherubim that had the face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of, you know, had the four faces on it. And a human face, a lion, ox, and eagle, I think, was the other one. And so you can see that reflected in the Gospels as well. The ox would have been the servant. The lion, I believe, would represent the king. And then, of course, Luke's Gospel presents Jesus Christ as the man, Christ Jesus. And Luke was a historian. He compiled his Gospel later, I believe, after the other ones, and he compiled it by talking with people, and also the Holy Spirit moving in his heart to put down, you know, the record. And then, of course, that leaves us with John. And John's gospel is a little bit different than the others. And John's gospel gives us Jesus as deity. And it really, I mean, starts right in the beginning, talking about Jesus being God. And so you have that emphasis there, king, servant, man, you know, human being, and God in the flesh. And so certainly as you delve into the Gospels, you know, those things become a little more important, a little more understandable, and they do give you a deeper appreciation. However, as somebody can get saved just understanding, you know, the basic message, but as a child of God, you know, wants to know more and understand the Scriptures more, delving into them, they're going to learn more. And, you know, like I said, looking at some of the places in Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae and places like that, and then seeing how Paul addressed certain things in their letters, and not only in Paul's letters, but also Peter and the book of Hebrews, and even in Revelation, especially the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation, you can see how he addressed specifics dealing with those cultures. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
Yeah, do we have time for a kind of connected question here?
We got about 5 minutes here before the break. I do have another caller calling in. Hopefully they'll be able to hang on too, but go ahead.
Okay. One other thing about, you know, different points of view and coming from the gospel and things. The word Messiah or HaMashiach in the Bible, and a little confused about this word, because from the Jewish point of view, I got a few copies of the Hebrew Bible and the Torah, and I'm getting this word Messiah keeps coming up, and of course, as Christians, we're taught to believe Jesus is the Mashiach,
right?
But in the Hebrew Bible, in the Torah, there are many people who are messiahs who were anointed. I'm just going to throw out a few: Saul, David, other people who were anointed. So maybe you could shed some light on who is anointed and who is a messiah.
All right. Well, and I understand the Messiah. First thing I can think of is Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, you know, talks specifically about Messiah, referring to Messiah the Prince, and as, of course, Jesus fulfilled those qualifications. But looking at the word Messiah itself, you know, you talked about how it was addressed to some different people there. And, you know, it basically means a person who's been consecrated or anointed. And of course, Samuel and David and Saul and other ones were. Maybe the best way to explain it, and this is a different word, totally different than the word Messiah, is the word Lord. We see the word Lord used in the Bible a lot. And you could refer to a human king as a Lord. Well, even today, if you rent a house or an apartment, you have a land Lord. He's the master or sovereign over that property. But we understand that when we use the word Lord, or in Britain they address the judges in the court as Lord, and kings would be addressed as a Lord. And so we understand we're not talking about God here. We're talking about a lesser title applied to human beings. And I think same thing with the word Messiah. We would apply that in some cases in sense of a consecrated or anointed person like Saul or David or something, as opposed to the Messiah, who would be the one that they were looking for in the New Testament, called the Christ. And obviously the Jewish people understood the difference. And certainly when we read some of the prophecies in the Old Testament, we can understand the difference between a Messiah, just like a Lord, versus the Lord, or the, you know, the Lord God, or Messiah, the Savior. So I think that's about as good as I can do on a quick basis there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hey, appreciate the call. That's a challenging one. Had never had that one asked before, so I appreciate that. Thanks for calling. Yeah, all right. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I think what we got about a minute or so left, about a minute and a half left. I'm going to get Linda on here right now, and if need be, Linda, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Hi. I'll make this quick
as I can. And also, let me interject here, since we have such a short time. Will you be able to hold over if need be?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Let's get started then.
Okay. On one of your sister's stations, I heard a Christian program. They were talking about Wycliffe Bible translators.
Okay.
And they were saying that there were 7,000 people groups in the world that still haven't been reached with the Word of God. And I'm just wondering, we're all looking for the coming of Jesus and his return, but do you think he has to wait till all 7,000 of these have gotten their Word of God?
That's a good question, and we're probably going to have to hold this over into the next side. But just as an aside leading up to that, I heard somebody on the Internet the other night who said that God revealed to him that everybody has heard it in their own language now, which is not true, and therefore he predicted that God would come on a certain date because of that. But that's not the case. Like you said, there's a lot of people who've not heard, and there's some great groups out there trying to do it. Hey, we got the break coming up. If you'll hold on, we'll address that when we come back from our break. Keep listening. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stay tuned in. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And, of course, also a reminder that we're brought to you not only by our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you'll hear some more information about that at the end of the program, but certainly invite you to visit us if you're ever in northeastern Ohio. If you live in northeastern Ohio and you're looking for a church where we take a stand on the Word of God, we use a King James Bible exclusively. We have reasons for that, and if you want to explore those reasons, you can come join with us at our Friday night Bible study or our on every Friday night at 7 o'clock or our services on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning, 6 in the evening. And we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. But also, and of course, that'll be on at the end of the program, more about that. Also wanted to mention that we're brought to you by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And you can find East Coast Pizza located right across from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road, and you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And one of the reasons we advertise that, even though our program goes beyond northeastern Ohio, I know a lot of people aren't going to be able to visit East Coast Pizza. Of course, if you're in northeast Ohio, you can visit us at the Bible Baptist Church, and you can also visit East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. But they also offer a service if you want to get into the pizza business or you're looking for a good pizza recipe that you can add to your existing lineup at a restaurant you might already have. You can contact East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, and Gus will help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. And I might add, I've heard a number of people have gone in there and visited and come away enjoying the pizzas. So now we just got to get somebody who wants to set up their own pizza business. There we go. Well, at any rate, we're going to get back to our program. We had a call on the first half of the program there towards the break. We were asking about the, and that's going to slip my mind what I was going to look at here this morning, trying to keep too many things juggling up in the air at the same time. But let me get myself back over here. And we're talking about the translators and trying to think what I was doing. Think of too many things at the same time. But translations into various languages, there's a lot of languages in the world that have not yet received the Word of God in their language. And our caller had mentioned, I believe it was Wycliffe Translators, and there's other groups out there. I'm familiar with a group, more familiar with another group called First Word. And this group is, some people may know of Dr. Charles Keene. He used to be the pastor of Large Baptist Church in the Cincinnati area, and he now heads up this ministry, and they have people working in various parts of the world. I know they have a large contingent in India. India, on the Indian subcontinent, there is a tremendous number of dialects and such not. And we don't think about this so much today, about the need to get the Word of God translated into various languages of the world. And the reason that it's important is, even though in many places the English language is spoken, or perhaps French is spoken, or German is spoken as the language of commerce, a trade language, or the language of government in that country, there's a lot of places in the world where, in order to get a more proper understanding of the Scriptures, it's good to have it translated into what some people call the heart language. That's the language what they know the best, the language that they're most familiar with, the language that'll allow you to reach their heart with the gospel message. And First Bible, I said First Word, it's First Bible International, and a tremendous ministry that you can go online. You can find them. I believe it's firstbible.net. Firstbible.net. Wonderful ministry. You can learn more about. One of the reasons that I recommend the work of First Bible, and you can, of course, find out more about it, firstbible.net, is that they take a great deal of care to ensure that the Bible comes from the Antiochian text. And if you're not familiar with this, if you've listened to the program any length of time, you've heard me mention from time to time that I use the King James Bible rather than the other versions. I don't use the English Standard Version, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, or the even the New King James Version. I use the King James Bible. And there's a reason for that. When I got back in church, when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England, and I was saved. I'd been saved, but I wasn't living for the Lord. And I realized that I needed to get my life back in order, and I needed to, you know, try to get back in church. And before I did that, I thought, well, I'm going to get a new Bible, and I'm going to start reading my Bible. I wasn't reading my Bible like I was. And I had an old beat-up Bible that I'd received when I was baptized, you know, some years before. And so I went into this bookstore, and I did a little looking into it and came to the conclusion that the New American Standard was the most technically accurate. So I bought a brand new American Standard Bible, and I started reading it. And at that time, a friend of mine, he became a good close friend of mine, and is really responsible for me rededicating my life to the Lord and being in the ministry today. He was stationed with me, and he worked in an office that was just down from where I was. And he began talking to me and inviting me to church at about the same time. A missionary from Georgia, I believe he was with Macedonia Baptist Missions at the time, had just established a new missions work outside of our base, not too far. And my friend Robert was going there with his family. And so he began inviting me. First, he made sure I was saved, which I appreciate. He realized I was saved, just not in church, not living for the Lord. And so, unbeknownst to me, the church was praying for me. And so I finally visited the church. And when I did, I had my nice, you know, new American Standard under my arm as I came in. I came a couple times, and the church was using the King James, and I was following along as best as I could. And one day after church, my friend Robert says, "Well, I see you're using the New American Standard. Why are you using that instead of, say, the New International Version or the King James or some other version?" Now, he didn't, you know, knock it out of my hand and say, "Oh, that's evil. Don't ever show up here with that again." He issued me a challenge. Why are you using that instead of something else? And I said, well, I did some research into it, and my research from what I read said that it was the most technically accurate. And he said, "Oh, well, have you considered this?" And he proceeded to tell me, and he even had some literature to give me, about how there's two streams of manuscripts. And most people don't realize this. It's not taught for some reason in seminaries, but the information is out there and it's available. But there's two streams of manuscripts out there. There's the Antiochian stream and the Alexandrian stream. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the Alexandrian stream comes from Alexandria, Egypt. And in Alexandria, Egypt, this is a place where people they took away from the Bible, the truths of the Bible. There was a guy there by the name of Origen, and he learned at the feet of his teacher he came to believe that the blood atonement didn't exist, the virgin birth wasn't real, and a number of other things that we call essential Bible truths or fundamentals of the faith, some call them that. And he was rejecting these things. And so what he did when he became the chief of the school there, he began redoing the Bible. And what he did is he began editing things out and removing sections of the Bible in order to reflect his erroneous beliefs. And he basically spawned a whole stream of manuscripts that come down to us in what's called the Alexandrian stream. And these are the manuscripts that underlie my precious New American Standard version of the Bible, as well as the New International Version, the English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, all these various modern versions. They're all based, and now they may give lip service to the other manuscripts, but they're all basically in the Alexandrian line. They're descended from people who did not believe in the truths of the Word of God. Two men by the name Westcott and Hort in the 1800s, they thought that the blood atonement was a heresy. They did not believe in the bodily resurrection, physical resurrection of Christ, the virgin birth, all these things they taught were not real. And so they found in these manuscripts that had largely been rejected as not reliable, they found justification to begin a whole new onslaught of scriptures that had been tainted with things removed from them. Now, this is not taught generally in most Bible schools, but you can find some of it. Let me give you a website that you can go to, wayoflife.org, wayoflife.org. Excellent site. You can find some good material there. Bibleforttoday.org, Bibleforttoday.org. You can find some great materials there. And so he said, and then there's the Antiochian stream of manuscripts. Now, the Antiochian stream of manuscripts is a different stream entirely, and it gives us the manuscripts that became known as the Textus Receptus in the New Testament, and also the Masoretic text in the Hebrew for the Old Text Old Testament. And these are the manuscripts that gave us the Peshitta that was used in parts of, well, where the Kurds live. I believe they used the Peshitta, parts of Iraq and areas there. But the Peshitta carried on some of those. But these manuscripts dated from Antioch. And remember Antioch, that's where Paul went out on his first missionary journey. Antioch is where they were first called Christians in Antioch because of their Christ-like demeanor, their Christ-like conduct. And so this is the godly line of texts as opposed to the polluted, corrupted line that comes out of Alexandria, Egypt. And, of course, we see them competing today. The King James Version of the Bible is the modern version or the version that we have today that's available that dates from the Antiochian text, whereas the modern versions today date from the Alexandrian text. Two different streams, a pure stream and a polluted stream. And so even though the New American Standard was more technically accurate than, say, the New International Version, it was technically accurate, but it was translated from the corrupted stream of manuscripts, the Alexandrian. And so when he asked me about and gave me this information, I'd never seen that. The materials that I looked at, the sources that I had looked at, didn't mention this at all. And as I began looking into it, there's a lot of material out there, and you just have to begin looking at it. And so one of the reasons I like First Bible International and their ministry is that they ensure that it's the Antiochian manuscript, the Antiochian stream of manuscripts that gave us the Textus Receptus that they used to translate the New Testament into the languages and dialects of these people that do not have it. They make sure that it's the Hebrew Masoretic text, the text that was championed by the Jewish people down through the ages as the true preserved Word of God. And they use that. Now, we don't have the originals, but God promised us that the originals would be preserved. In fact, let me go back here to Psalm 12 here real quick. A very clear statement here. If you read it in the King James Version, or if you read it in the other versions, the older versions that come from the Antiochian text, such as the Geneva Bible, or some of its predecessors, you see in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And when Jesus talked about the scriptures in his day, he wasn't talking about the originals when he said that the scripture says. When Paul was talking about all scriptures given by inspiration of God, he wasn't talking about merely the originals. He was talking about the scriptures that they had that had been copied over and over and over, generation after generation. God faithfully preserved his word until the time of Christ, the time of Paul, so that both Jesus and Paul were able to take the scriptures of their day, the Hebrew Masoretic text, and they were able to hold it up and say, this is scripture, this is the inspired word of God. And then, of course, we today, that promise is still there. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so it's preserved. God preserved it. We can access the pure words of God today. Well, I didn't intend on talking a lot about that, but that's my reason for using the King James Version. And if you disagree with that, I mean, you're welcome to call, but let me challenge you, search out the matter. Don't just read James White's book, the King James Only Controversy. Very one-sided, and there's some works out there that have well disproven White's diatribe against the King James Only position. And don't think that just because somebody says they're King James Only that they're some kind of nutcase or some kind of cult member. That's not what it is. There are people out there who hold to the King James Version only because of serious study, scholarly study, and not just the scholarly study, but also the testimony of the books. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'd rather use a book that's been translated and preserved by Bible-believing Christians rather than a book that its source comes from people who rejected the very fundamentals of the faith that we consider essential to biblical Christianity, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, the physical bodily resurrection of Christ, the virgin birth, and more. I'm going with the people that believe those things. I'm going with the people who were persecuted by people who rejected those truths and persecuted those that did down through the ages. And these people preserved the Bible down through the ages so that you can have it in your hand today. In English, we're blessed. English is the language of the world today. And God saw to it that it would be put into a language that we can have today. People say, oh, the King James Version is too hard. It's too hard. Those words are too hard. How about a word like satrap? That's a hard word, isn't it? It's not in the King James Version. It's in the New International Version. I believe it means a governor or something. Everybody knows what a satrap is, right? As opposed to the word governor. No, there's just vocabulary words that you have to learn sometimes. Let me give you an example. I have a biology degree, and I studied all kinds of phases, biology, wildlife biology, fisheries biology, forest biology, forest ecology, all kinds of things, ornithology, mammalogy, anatomy and physiology of farm animals. Been through all that, botany courses and everything. And what if I told you that I'm looking out the window at a herd of quadruped ungulates browsing on the forbs outside? Now, some people might understand what I'm talking about. I guarantee most people don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And I could simply be referring to a herd of deer out there browsing on some plants out in the field outside. But, you know, because I was studying that field of study, I took the time to learn what an ungulate is. I took the time to learn what browsing means as opposed to grazing. I took the time to learn what forbs are as opposed to grasses and sedges and trees. I took the time to learn the vocabulary of a field of study that I was interested in. My wife is an RN, and she knows a lot of things dealing medical terms that she can talk with other nurses, and I'll joke and say, well, you're engaging in that nurse talk again. They know what they're talking about because she loves her work. She took the time to learn the vocabulary for a field of study that she's interested in. And I would submit that if you love God and you want to know what God wants you to do and you want to know more about God, you're going to take the time to study and learn the vocabulary of God's Word. And let me touch on another one here, and I'll give out our phone numbers again as well. But the these and the thous versus the yees and the yous in the Bible. People say, that's too confusing. Get rid of those these, get rid of those yees. No, when you do that, you destroy the thoughts in the Word of God. Let me put it simply for you. We have kids in our church that when they were in, fourth, fifth grade, they understood this without any problems. People say, oh, kids can't understand this. Well, I've seen fourth and fifth graders understand this. When you're reading the King James Version of the Bible, it says thee or thou or thine. It starts with a TH. That's a singular personal pronoun. If it says ye, you, or your, that starts with a Y. That's a plural personal pronoun. You begin to see where it can make a difference between whether it's a personal or a plural personal or a singular or a plural personal pronoun. It can make a big difference sometimes. And when you see that there's a difference between the singular personal pronoun, such as thee, thou, and thine, and the plural personal pronoun, such as ye, you, and your, that was something that was put into the King James Version. People in that day didn't talk that way. It was put in there to carry the sense of the original languages into the English language. And let me tack one other thing on here. King James has too long of sentences. We need these short, pithy sentences. No, you don't. Short, pithy sentences break up the complex thoughts that the Bible's trying to get across. When you look at a long sentence in the King James Version, you see a thought that's expressed with subpoints and things underneath that thought, and it all goes together. When you read the modern versions, those things are all broken up, and you lose the connectivity. You lose meaning. If you want to know the Word of God, get a good King James Version of the Bible, not a new King James. Get a King James Version of the Bible. Get into it. Make the effort to learn the difference between the these and the yees. Make an effort to learn some of the language and vocabulary that's in it. And your Bible study and your understanding and concept of God will increase, or understand concept of God and His Word. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the program here tonight. We got a few minutes left before we end up on the end of the program here. We go till midnight tonight, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. I believe we've got Joyce calling in. And Joyce, I guess we got about a minute left in the program. Welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, I'm with you 100% on the King James Version of the Bible. And if you notice, the last several years, there's been a lot of different Bibles that come off the press.
Oh, yes.
And when I was young, we used to stand and be able to read the Word of God together. But we can't do that anymore now because of different versions of the Bible.
Right.
And they have taken different words out, like the blood.
Yes.
And they and like Mary, the virgin.
Right. Hey, I'm going to have to interrupt you there, Joyce. I only got about 10 seconds or a little over 10 seconds left. And I want to thank you for making that point. That's a great point. Maybe we'll pick this up in a future program, but we're out of time tonight. I want to thank you for listening. God bless and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.